登警告缅甸军方武力夺权可能遭遇制裁。美国会两党谴责缅甸军方扣押官员。新冠疫苗帮助美国新冠疫情好转。2月2号星期二，欢迎收看《美国观察》，我是卡拉。缅甸军方夺取国家控制权。星期一，缅甸国务资政昂山素季与总统温敏等多位执政党官员遭拘押，缅甸军方宣布进入为期一年的紧急状态。美国总统拜登警告缅甸军方，采取武力夺权的方式是对民主与法治的倒退，警告若不承认大选结果，可能恢复对缅甸的制裁。拜登总统星期一也邀请了提出共和党纾困方案的参议员到白宫共同商议。详细的情况，我们请美国之音白宫记者黄耀毅来介绍。耀毅。
是的，在美国时间1月31号呢，缅甸的军方认为说去年11月的大选有舞弊的现象，所以不承认大选的结果，并且呢还拘禁了包括了缅甸总统温敏、昂山素季等政治的领导人。那么白宫呢在当天晚上就透过白宫发言人沙奇发出了声明，声明当中呢重申对缅甸民主的支持，并且说美国反对任何改变近期大选结果的企图。而在2月1号星期一，拜登总统也发出了他本人的声明，那他的声明当中说呢，缅甸军方夺取权力，拘禁昂山素季与其他公民领导人，并且宣布国家进入紧急状态，是对该国民主转型以及法治的直接攻击。在民主国家不应该用武力来推翻人民的意志，或试图消灭正当选举的结果。将近10年来，缅甸人民稳健地建立选举、公民治理以及和平的权力转移，此进程应该被尊重。拜登并且说呢，国际社会应该合作，口径一致的对缅甸军方施压，来立刻放弃他们夺取的权利，释放他们拘禁的活动人士还有官员，解除所有电信禁令，并且克制对平民使用武力。对于那些在此艰困时刻与缅甸人民站在一起者，美国都记下来了。我们将与我们在该区域和全世界的盟友们合作，来支持民主和法治的复苏，同时呢，也要那些推翻缅甸民主转型者负起责任。那拜登的声明最后说呢，美国在过去的10年将缅甸从制裁名单上去除，这个进程若是倒退的话，将导致重新审议跟制裁相关的法律与授权，之后将会采取适当的行动。那么在星期一的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇就被问到说，拜登总统声明当中有这一句说，要求国际社会合作因应缅甸局势，并且还要在此艰困时刻与缅甸人民站在一起者，美国都记下来了。那么这个是不是特别要传达一个讯息给中国？对此呢，这个沙奇则是做出了回应。我们看一下白宫发言人沙奇是怎么说的。
I think it's a message to all countries in the region countries who, will be asked to respond or to consider what the appropriate response will be in reaction to the events that have happened over the past couple of days.
那缅甸军方呢是说不承认过去年十一月大选的结果，那么发动了政变。在白宫的新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇也被问到，美国在1月6号也发生了有不承认去年十一月大选结果的民众冲击国会的事件，那么这是否会导致美国在世界上推广民主、自由跟法治的价值的时候更加的困难？对此呢，白宫发言人沙奇如此的回答，我们来看一下。
International community sees President Biden as a root of the events on January 6th, and certainly he has made every effort through conversations directly with partners and allies, through how he has spoken publicly in disgust about the events on January 6th, and through his own commitment to restoring rule of law, democracy here in the United States. The United States remains a country in the world that is looked to for leadership, and it's going to take some time, but he's certainly committed to doing that.
那么在新冠疫情方面呢，拜登总统也准备推出总值1.9万亿的美国救援方案。那么当中除了包括原本只有之前呢600美元的个人纾困金要提高到2000美元之外呢，那也就是要增发1400美元。那么呢，此外还要提供经费给更多全国防疫的措施，包括病毒检测、病例追踪，还有疫苗的研发、分配、接种，对新冠病毒未来防治等等。那么星期天上午呢，有10位的共和党参议员发出致拜登总统的公开信，表示呢他们将推出一个规模较小的纾困方案。那拜登总统就邀请这10位的参议员星期一的下午5点，也就是我们节目现在开始的时间呢，到白宫来一起来商议这个新的纾困方案。那么在星期一中午的白宫新闻简报会上呢，白宫发言人沙奇表示，这次的会面呢是要来交换意见，拜登总统并不会在会面当中直接提出或接受提议。那么至于共和党参议员提出的方案的规模大概只有5000亿到6000亿美元之间，与白宫期望的规模差距很大。沙奇表示呢，在立法上当然要寻求跨党派的支持，但是这个纾困方案规模的大小应该取决于现在国家面临危机的大小。我们看一下沙奇今天的说法。
I think it's they put their ideas forward. That's how the president sees it. He felt it was, an effort to engage and engage on a bipartisan basis. And that's why he invited them to the White House today. But his view is that the size of the package needs to be commensurate with the crises we're facing, the dual crises we're facing. Hence why he proposed a package that's $1.9 trillion.
那沙奇呢，此外也列举了几项的研究的显示，例如说智库布鲁金斯学会的分析显示呢，拜登的美国救援方案将能够让美国的 GDP 成长4%，并且让美国的经济能够在2021年底之前恢复到疫情之前的水准。还有穆迪公司的分析则是显示，这个方案在今年内就能够创造7500万个工作机会，并且回到完全就业的状况。那么还有这国际货币基金组织 IMF 的首席经济学家们的分析则显示，拜登的方案将可以让美国的经济在未来的3年成长5%。那沙奇也指出呢，在今天美国的市长联合会发表了有超过400名市长签名的公开信给美国的国会，希望国会尽快的审议美国救援方案。沙奇说，美国民众正在为疫情所苦，包括共和党籍的西维吉尼亚州州长贾斯提斯呢都支持拜登的方案，因此呢他希望国会可以赶快行动。卡拉，
好的，感谢姚毅发自白宫的消息。缅甸军方政变的消息引起美国国会两党的谴责，多位议员也纷纷呼吁缅甸军方立刻释放遭到关押的政府官员。美国国会参议院少数党领袖麦康奈尔星期一发表声明，称缅甸军方围捕包括昂山素季在内等官员的行动令人震惊，完全不可接受。麦康奈尔说，这对缅甸缓慢而不稳定的民主过渡是一大倒退。麦康奈尔呼吁缅甸军方立即释放所有官员，并要求拜登政府及其他民主国家采取强硬立场，谴责这种对民主的攻击行动。参议院外交关系委员会民主党领袖梅嫩德兹在一份声明中表示，缅甸军方发动政变对该国人民来说是一场悲剧。梅嫩德兹说，缅甸政府军对罗兴亚人犯下种族灭绝的罪行，对缅甸其他少数民族持续发动暴力运动，缅甸军方应该要立刻释放执政党官员，并将自己从政府中除名。梅嫩德斯还说，如果缅甸政府军不立即改弦易辙，美国和其他国家应该对缅甸政府军和军方领导人施加严格的经济制裁。美国众议院外交事务委员会两党领袖也分别以书面声明的方式呼吁缅甸军方尊重民主进程发展，并称破坏区域稳定的做法将会严重影响美国与缅甸的双边关系。针对缅甸的军队政变，拜登政府敦促缅甸军方逆转行动，而中国则没有对缅甸军方进行谴责。华盛顿智库哈德逊研究所高级研究员、政治军事分析中心主任理查德·怀兹博士就这一事件对美中两国的意义进行了解读。
They strive to try and encourage both democratic progress and reduction of tensions between the ethnic groups there. And this would, a military coup would clearly be a setback for both goals. So,The Biden administration has made a strong statement against the coup. It's been coordinating statements with other U.S. allies. And we saw that even before the coup with a warning And now it's pondering a response. There'll be some sanctions, but my understanding is the administration wants to also look at other tools, particularly multilateral tools, to steer things back into a correct direction. So we know that countries engaged in Myanmar, the one that would probably be least upset by the military coup would be China. Now, China seemed to get along with both the military and the civilian opposition in recent years, and they've had, you know, they've included Myanmar in some of their regional economic programs and still have an important economic stake. But China did lose out when the system opened up. There was a lot more Western engagement and so on. So the Chinese may calculate that even though the military has a difficult to deal with on some issues, it would exclude the West more if there were to be a series of Western sanctions and so on. And for that reason, I think the Biden administration is going to think carefully about what's the best way to orchestrate the Western democratic response to avoid giving China a free hand in the country, to keep open the possibility of a democratic but also non-aligned Myanmar.
中国政府与缅甸民主政府和军方都关系微妙。事发后，中国政府也只是给出了相对模糊的表态。至于中国下一步会采取怎样的行动，怀兹博士也做出了分析。
The Chinese don't want instability on their border. They don't want chaos. They want to protect their investments. But if it looks like the military isn't going to relinquish power anytime soon, which seems to be the case, I suspect the Chinese will just accommodate themselves to the military as they did in the past and, in a sense, become the main prop for the country's economy. This makes a sense for China in the short term, but I think it's going to be the long-term cost for the people of Myanmar and probably China itself, because it's going to double down on a group whose long-term future in Myanmar is very uncertain.
台湾国防部公布，中国一架军机周一进入台湾西南空域，台湾空军派遣空中巡逻兵力应对，进行了广播驱离和防空飞弹追歼。根据台湾国防部的即时军事动态公布的信息，除了中国军机外，周一共有三架次美国军机也出现在周边空域。台湾国防部1月31日首次针对美国军机进行披露，当天有六架中国战机和一架美国侦察机进入台湾西南防空识别区。台湾国防部对美国军事活动的披露被认为不同寻常。今年最大规模的中国军机扰台发生在美国总统拜登上任后不久的1月23日和24日，那被认为是中国当局在试探拜登新政府的反应。台湾国防部自去年9月17日起，在官网的即时军事动态专栏发布中国军机的动态。拜登总统预计在本周宣布有关移民的新行政命令。在美国的法律中，移民被称为异邦人，这个词意味外国人，但同时也有异己、外星人等含义。很多人认为这是贬义词，而这个词可能很快就会被取代。来看美国之音的报道。
The word alien, if you say it to an American, to a citizen, it's not going to affect them because they don't know what it is to struggle with that term.And the struggle to fit in, the struggle to prove yourself in the country.
萨拉·桑迪亚哥两岁半时，他的父母就离开墨西哥追求美国梦，移民到了美国。他赞扬拜登总统的提议，要求国会从移民法中删除“异邦人”一词，并将它更改为“非公民”这个比较中性的术语。
I get so emotional because it's just, to me, it's like.Why call me an alien if I belong to you? I pay your taxes. I help your people. So I definitely agree that that's something that has to be changed because it's more than just a word.
考虑到这一称呼是贬义的，加利福尼亚州于2015年在劳工法规中禁止了这个术语。纽约市从去年也开始采取行动。
We're taking out the word alien and putting non-citizen wherever there is any type of legal document or official document that comes from the city, and also in any of our city charter. We have not had any lawsuits. We haven't run into any issues.
但是美国保守派人士强烈反对。
It's a term that's been used by many members of Congress. In fact, in a recent Supreme Court argument, The word illegal alien was used any number of times, tens of times. So I don't view it as dehumanizing. I view it as descriptive.
劳拉·里斯在前总统特朗普领导的国土安全部工作。特朗普过去四年来助长了反移民的狂热。
Under federal law, any individual in this country who is not a citizen is an alien. And if the alien is here without permission, they are here illegally. That should be the end of the story.
倡导者说，更改一帮人一词不会影响美国移民法的工作方式，而且表明美国仍然是一个欢迎人们的国家。
There are logical and legal ways to change the terminology and make it work. The word non-citizen would actually be more inviting and reflect the way our society actually is.
这里还有其他的意思。最近失去临时签证的韩国人崔路希望在更加对移民友好的拜登政府的领导下取得美国公民身份。他说，消除一帮人一词对他感触良多。
I hope it changes people's perception of what an immigrant is. Just because you're originally from somewhere else doesn't mean you can't call a place home, and it doesn't mean that you don't belong in a place.
崔路说，如果这一变化成真，法律应该跟进，以帮助那些由于其无法控制的原因而在美国仍然没办手续的人们。
Human rights has no borders. The idea of human rights is that you're born with it. I need to be not an alien in my own home.
美国之音伊格雷西亚斯，华盛顿报道。
新冠疫苗为美国的疫情形势带来好转，全美多地的感染数字、住院率与死亡率都显著下降，但是少数族裔的疫苗接种率仍然较低，疫苗普及仍然存在一些挑战。来看美国之音的报道。
人们驾车在科罗拉多州丹佛的一处疫苗接种点外排起长龙，这里在周末总共注射了约10000剂新冠疫苗，目前主要面向70岁以上的老年人群体。当地政府计划在下周将一般公众接种的年龄限制下调至65岁。在加州，新冠疫苗不但带来住院率的显著下降，也给更多人增添了抗疫的信心。
My grandma lives with me, and I live with my parents as well. And it's just like really important for me that I keep them safe as well, since they're at home and I'm the one going out to clinicals. So the safety of my family and as well as like my friends and my classmates too.
新冠疫苗为美国的疫情形势带来好转。纽约时报报道的一项实验显示，全部75000名参与者接种了包括辉瑞、莫德纳、阿斯利康、诺瓦瓦克斯和强生等5种新冠疫苗中的任何一种后，目前受试者尚无一人因感染新冠病毒死亡，仅有几名住院接受治疗，且28天内全部出院。但另一项由美联社所发布的报道说，目前美国的少数族裔接种率没有达到与其人口所占比相适应的水平。马里兰州的非裔占30%，在医护工作者中的比例达到40%，而目前接种者中只有16%为非裔。在费城，非洲裔人口占全部人口的40%，但目前仅有14%的接种者是非裔。在芝加哥，30%的非裔人口只占接种比例的15%。目前非洲裔、拉丁裔与原住民等少数族裔的新冠病毒感染率是美国白人的3倍。美联社分析称，非洲裔接种率较低的原因在于长期的种族歧视导致很多人对于医疗系统缺乏信任，非洲裔社区医疗资源不足，以及网络预约接种对于低收入群体较为困难等。美国之音新闻报道。
2月是美国的黑人历史月，在刚刚过去的2020年，也就是特朗普政府执政的最后一年，美国出现了一波抗议行动，谴责警方的残酷行径，并要求社会正义。美国之音记者萨拉伊探讨了民主党人入驻白宫对这一运动的影响。
在捍卫黑人生命的抗议活动进行几个月后，乔拜登总统在他上任的第一周签署了几道行政命令，重申他对种族正义的支持。
In my campaign for president, I made it very clear that the moment it arrived as a nation where we face deep racial inequities in America and systemic racism that has plagued our nation for far, far too long.
但一些活动人士并不相信总统会满足他们的运动要求，包括重新分配一些警察经费和废除私人的联邦监狱，即使拜登已签署一项逐步废除私人监狱合同的行政命令。
We're not too thrilled about him, but we're hoping that he's going to make a lot of changes and do something right for our people. But he won our first choice, but because he was the only choice, we'd rather have him than Donald Trump.
Just because Biden was elected does not mean that he's going to do the right things for BLM. We voted out Trump. So now it's time to make sure that Biden is going to follow everything the black community needs.
一些活动人士说，关键是要通过巩固推动拜登当选的有色人种社区的基层组织，要求拜登负起责任。
Immediately before he became president, we saw an enormous amount of unprecedented pressure from grassroots organizations, grassroots people all across the country, mostly affiliated with Black Lives Matter, but certainly in other groups.Really pushing for racial equity, really pushing for justice.
虽然一些反对种族不公的示威活动因暴力而失色，并受到拜登和特朗普两人的谴责，这个运动大致上提倡和平抗议，并强调地方层次工作的重要性。
My opinion as somebody who does grassroots organizing is that a lot of that is going to come from like the cities we live in, the organizing we do, keeping the narrative conversations going.
即使抗议活动不是全国头条新闻的时候。争取种族正义活动的组织者仍鼓励美国人民继续就纠正不公平的现象进行对话。
People don't always know that they can contribute in different ways, other than maybe being seen as somebody who's speaking and who's like shouting or who's like maybe like somebody saying their story. There's so many like really tangible ways that a movement can be supported.
You can keep the conversation relevant with the people in your household. You can keep.The conversation relevant with people in your churches or in your communities, wherever you socially gather, virtually, of course.
活动人士对这个话题会继续在华盛顿受到关注感到乐观。美国之音记者萨拉伊华盛顿报道。
16岁的华裔女生郑淑怡在纽约著名的布朗市科学高中读书。她从小被教育的观念是先管自己，再管别人。但2020年新冠疫情下针对亚裔的偏见和歧视案件让他意识到这样的观念需要抛弃。高二时郑淑仪在学校建立了第一个关注亚裔群体的社团，他说年轻一代的亚裔更应该发出声音。
Good evening, my name is Vicky Zhang and I'm a Bronx Science sophomore. This email was also written by my co-president Claire Hong.Name the Asian American Association, identifying and challenging the struggles that Asian Americans face are just a few among the many agendas that this club wants to introduce to the Bronx Science community. Today was like a really chill meeting. We just try to get people to like know about their identities because it's something that we don't always reflect on. Did you get a paper?
Two identities I think about most often are like.He said socioeconomic class and sexual orientation.
I don't really like understand anything Chinese. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They understand Chinese values. How then people on the outside look at you and see your culture, see how that affects you, or assuming how that affects you.
Asian Americans in America are really underrepresented, like definitely in media. Even now, I still think that like, people's opinions of like, Asian Americans are really, like, they don't really notice us. Like, we're kind of just there. I wanted to be able to do something about like, Asian Americans. Our school has 65% Asian American students. There's a Japanese culture club, and then there's also East Asian Entertainment Club. All the clubs are entertainment based. I just feel like there needed to be a club that was like, more serious, more based on activism. And I realized, oh, I want to create a club.I definitely do think that like Asian stereotypes like happen often. The model minority basically says that like, oh, like Asians are like really good at like everything, which just discredits like a lot of like hard work and like effort that like we try to like put into things. When I was a lot more younger, like I didn't really realize it a lot. Like it probably happened a lot, but like I just didn't like really focus on it. But like now, like I focus it on a lot more because I don't want it to like become like a bigger problem. goals to start a club include having an advisor, getting like at least 15 people to say that they want to commit to the club, and then also just like creating an amendment for the club. The hardest part was definitely trying to find an advisor. I started asking like a lot of like my freshman year and sophomore year teachers like whether or not they'd be like willing to like stay after school to like be the advisor of a club, and then they all said no. That night of like I just like emailed Boston like every single teacher in the school. I just like manually like, typed down their like emails like one by one. It was like a good like 100 or like 200 teachers. Even asked like security guards and like guidance counselors. Finally, like the day of, like my guidance counselor said, "Oh, I'm interested in the club."
I am so proud when your board invited me to be the club advisor. I am Asian.
We need people to have like a voice in our school. This club would provide the 65% Asian American demographics with resources and education about the injustices that a majority of students face, many of which are not easily identifiable in mainstream media.
I wasn't in part of any club, and I heard of a new club starting up, which is Asian American Association, and I thought it was a good opportunity to find a place to fit in.
The last meeting we had was on the coronavirus. Since the pandemic, there has been more prevalent racism towards the Asian American community. And unfortunately, like my dad's business is a target of that. It's pretty discouraging and it's pretty scary, I guess. It's important for people my age, especially, to care about activism. Change would happen more quickly if there were more people who cared about the Asian American activism. What I want to see like in the Asian American community like is for there to be like no racism or discrimination.
美国东北部地区从星期天开始遭遇猛烈的暴风雪天气，从首都华盛顿到纽约市，部分地区降下超过1英尺的大雪。由于航班取消、学校关闭、交通受阻，大雪给人们带来诸多的不便，但是也给疫情期间的生活增添了一些乐趣。来看报道。
气象官员说，在东北部华盛顿和纽约市之间的人口稠密地带，星期一部分地区的降雪速度高达每小时2到3英寸。在华盛顿和近郊地区，星期天已经降下2到4英寸的大雪。当地官员警告说，该地区部分路段可能会出现结冰，并提醒人们尽量减少外出。但是官员的警告并没能打消当地居民来到市中心国家大草坪赏雪的热情。
I thought it was going to be the prettiest area to be in to see all the snow. This is the first snow that we've seen. And we don't get this type of snow back home, so we thought this would be a good place to see people and learn how to make a snowman.
美国国家气象局说，此次东北部大雪形成于中大西洋沿岸的冷气团，由于气团移动速度较慢，因此预计暴风雪天气将持续至星期二。截至星期一，纽约市及周边部分地区的降雪已经超过20英寸。按照市长白思豪的指令，市区学校仍在进行远程教学，但部分郊区学校则选择在当天停课。
He's always excited to have a day where we can go out and play in the snow, you know, and to kind of have a break from his regular routine. So I think now with COVID, the kids don't get snow days anymore. Everything's remote learning. So it's fun for them, you know, to get out here and just really be able to be a kid.
但是对于成年人来说，暴风雪则意味着体力活。
I know more is coming, so I'm just doing this in shifts because I think we're going to get a few more inches. And the heavier it gets, the harder it is to use the snowblower. So,
星期天晚间至星期一早间，纽约部分地区还出现时速高达50英里的暴风。市长白思豪提醒居民，除非必要，尽量避免出门。纽约州长库莫和新泽西州长莫菲星期一分别下令，暂时关闭了该地区部分新冠疫苗接种中心。美国之音电视新闻。
以上就是今天美国观察的全部内容，感谢您的收看，我们下次再见。